On this episode of the Ritual Misery podcast, Baldy. It's not just who I am, it's what I climbed.
Snowpiercer and Snowpiercer.
There's some irony there, I think. How about a home assistant built out of a Raspberry Pi 4?
Ooh, that sounds great. It sounds like we're going to talk about technology things tonight.
Quarantech. It's a thing. Hello, and welcome to the Ritual Misery Podcast, episode 248 for Thursday, the 21st of May, 2020. This is a show where two lifelong friends and their guests celebrate all things geek. I'm Amos, that's Kent, and something's really jacked up with the screen right now.
No. Really? But yes, I am Kent, and I'm here, and I'm happy. It's Thursday, which is always great because it's Ritual Misery, but also, I don't have to work tomorrow, and that's fantastic. How are you?
I am doing well. I will have to work tomorrow, but it's on stuff I like, which is totally amazing.
That's great, man.
All right, man. I tell you what, why don't you figure out how to tell people about your week while I try to figure out how to fix the aspect ratios on the screen right now?
Oh, okay. Well, so I said I don't have to work tomorrow, which is fantastic. I've been going to the office full time for the last 2 weeks, and dude, like, I didn't like that already. Like, going to work every day sucks. But after like two and a half months or whatever, of like a very, very reduced schedule and teleworking and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Man, 5 days a week at work, 8 hours a day, it's 8 balls. Hours plus usually.
It's balls.
It sucks, dude. Like, I'm not a fan. I am not a fan. Oh, geez. It's a thing. Yeah. So tomorrow is a day off because we have a 4 day weekend for Memorial Day coming up.
Yeah. That's this weekend, nice. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh. It's Monday. Monday's the holiday. And, Air Force bases tend to try to do 4 day weekends for things like that, for like Monday holidays and things. Mm-hmm. As a civilian employee, I actually have to take a day of leave tomorrow, but like all operations are shut down. So technically I could go to work, but I would just sit there staring at a screen and nap, find the end of the internet, you know, whatever. So it's not worth getting out of bed for. So
and you can't be on your phone. So you can't like sit on TikTok all day.
No, exactly. Yeah. So it's completely pointless. And TikTok. No, like what? No.
Oh, I love TikTok. Oh my gosh. I love TikTok.
Yeah.
It's so fun.
I don't know if we've talked about that much
on
this show, but
we have.
Just randomly send me TikToks. So I'm just like, between you and my son, Isaac, that is my TikTok experience.
So I should send you more.
I have no TikTok experience other than that. I'm good.
I should certainly send you more.
So what have you been up to, man?
Well, this morning we got up at 3:30 in the morning and we went out and climbed Mount Baldy.
Oh, what?
Yeah, it's like
is that a euphemism for your head?
No, that'd be entirely too factual. No, this is towards the head of Eagle River, which is a town named after a river
called Eagle River.
Called Eagle River, like they actually.
What if the river was named something else?
What if the river was named after the town? It's called
Eagle River. And the town just happened to be named Eagle River.
Yeah.
What should we name this river? I don't know. There's a town right there called Eagle River. Let's use that.
Exactly. There's a town right there called Pittsburgh. We should call this the Pittsburgh River. Wait, what? No,
that's kind of how that works.
Yeah, it's a little over a 3 mile hike. You know, it's actually about almost 2 miles up and then a mile down, because on the way down you can take certain shortcuts you can't take on the way up.
Oh, okay.
1,600 or something like that feet of elevation. So it's fairly steep the entire time. A lot of fun. My wife and I went out there with the twins and David. And, of course, they went up there no problem. They're like, da-da-da-da-da. And my wife and I think we each had three heart attacks on the way up there. So that's how that went.
Oh, only three. Wow. Yeah, that's okay.
Well, yeah, three. Yeah, three each. So it's,
you know, three each. Yeah, oh, okay. Yeah. Three each, not three between.
Yeah, we didn't each have one or of our own and then share one. We're not that close of a couple. You know?
Your hearts aren't that joined.
No. I mean, I'm pretty happily married, but fuck, that might be going a little far.
A little extreme even for you guys.
I know. Like, hey, you want to hold hands? Fuck that. Let's share heart attacks.
Oh, damn. No, that's cool, man. I've never hiked to the top of a mountain, I don't think. I've hiked to the top of several hills.
Yeah. But and by mountain, I'm not saying this isn't like Denali, you know. It's not like a single peak out in the middle of fucking nowhere amongst a bunch of other mountains or some shit. It's really just a really big hill. Once you get to the top, you look over and there's mountains right there. So
it's like
the baby mountain, but it was still a lot of fun. Really good views up there. Unfortunately, it was a little windy and a little cold. So it was too windy to fly their drone and too cold to stand around and take a bunch of pictures
So that leads to the question I was going to ask you. Mm-hmm. How many pictures did you take? And follow up question, will we see them on Instagram?
You probably will see them on Instagram. Although I only took family photos. I didn't take like scenery photos. That's where I drew the line. I took the photos that proved that we were there, but I didn't take the photos to like, oh, this is pretty. Let me try to capture this in a way that other people will find entertaining.
Right. Gotcha. Yeah.
So, yeah. Although earlier this week I did. So I've been doing this home automation thing, right? And I recently purchased a Raspberry Pi 4. Now, Owen, good old Owen JJ Stone, a.k.a. Odocta, had sent me a Raspberry Pi 3 kit with a Raspberry Pi 4 board, which I'm not sure how that worked out, but that's fine because it put the boot in my ass for me to actually go out and I bought a Pi 3 board and gave that to my daughter, Madison, and I bought a Raspberry Pi 4 kit for myself because you can't buy the kit without the board. It's whatever.
Gotcha.
I turned mine into a Home Assistant, which is a open source platform that links together all of your home automation and allows you to have better control over, you know, hey, if the sun goes down, I want these lights to come on as opposed to just a certain time or whatever.
Oh, nice. Yes.
Take the stuff you can do on the Echo or the Google Home or whatever and amplify it by like, I don't know, a factor of 10. And that's the kind of stuff that you can do with this. I don't have everything hooked up yet, but it's pretty close. It's almost a full home solution. And because I asked our good friend Richard Gunther, hey, have you ever tried Home Assistant or OpenHAB, which is another like another project? He was like, yeah, they're too command line-y for me, so I never did them. I was like, okay, cool. So I did OpenHAB until I hit the point where I need a command line, which is fairly early in the process. Killed that project and went over to Home Assistant and have done everything I can to avoid using command line, because if you have to get into command line, it's not user friendly. I can't recommend something that people are going to have to hammer jack their way through Linux command lines.
Right.
So that's that's been a lot of fun.
It sounds very hacky of you.
I haven't gotten into the actual home automation, like, you know, synchronizing lights and things like that yet, but I got it all set up, and then my new router arrived, and we'll talk about that later.
Okay. Man, so have you ever seen the movie Snowpiercer?
I thought I had until I recently saw a preview, and I don't remember anything from the preview.
Wait, did you see a preview for the movie or for the TV show?
For the movie.
Okay. So I just recently saw the movie about a week ago. I had no idea that a TV show was coming.
Oh.
So I just coincidentally watched the movie, loved it. Like, it was not at all what I expected it to be. The idea of it was like, that was in my head. It was, that was not it. The movie is fucking amazing. It is fucking awesome. And
explain the movie to me in like one sentence. Yep.
Well, can I have a pre-sentence?
No.
It's based on a okay. All right. The world freezes and a billionaire had made a train.
Okay, so yes, I have seen the movie, and maybe it was a preview of the TV show.
Okay.
Yes, the movie was amazing. Fucking straight up amazing.
So the billionaire makes the train that goes around the world, and it's powered by a perpetual motion machine, so it never stops, and it gets energy from, you know, it collects water from the snow on the track and all that sort of stuff. And there's something of a class system throughout the train. Like the rich are in the front, the poor are in the back.
Right. And that is vital to the existence of the train.
Yeah. So, and go. And that's kind of the basic plot of the movie, but it gets deep. It goes places and it says things.
Yeah, it's exceptionally really, well really shot good. As well.
Yes. And there's so many like stars in it. I had no idea that I thought it was an indie movie with like indie like actors, or whatever. No, like Captain America is in this movie.
Right.
Like the star of the movie is Chris Evans. Like what the hell?
Yeah.
Oh my God. I had no idea. The movie is fantastic. Anybody that has not seen it, like go out of your way and see it. It's on Netflix, by the way, which is why I watched it.
Yep.
Check it out. Snowpiercer. It's awesome. Also, Snowpiercer, the TV show, started this week.
Yeah.
It's on TNT. The way that I watched it was on Google TV, you know, the paid, like, you know, cable replacement service. Mm-hmm. I watched it on Google TV. It's really good. I think it might be also on Amazon. Don't quote me on that, but you might be able to see it on Amazon Prime. But it's really good. Just so you know, going into it, they're not in the same canon. It's not the same timeline, right? So the setup that I said to describe Snowpiercer, mm-hmm. that it's, you know, the world freezes and a billionaire had made a train that goes around the world, perpetual motion machine, and like I didn't even say this part. All of the human survivors are on the train. That's pretty much where stops. I mean, some of the details, like Wilbur is the name of the billionaire and he's the engineer of the train. Like, so those things are intact.
Is this a prequel or?
Well, no, it takes place earlier in the timeline. This takes place like 5 years after the event, where the movie takes place like 15 years after the event, or something close to that. However, they're not in the same timeline. They are different. Like, it's different. I'm not going to give any spoilers, but like, it's just understand, they're not, this is not a prequel of anything.
So if you took Apple
its own
and you're like, this is a great apple, and you started peeling it down, taking all the substance out of it, and you end up just a seed. And then you're like, hey, let's grow something with this. And you plant it and it sprouts an orange tree.
Oh, no. They're both apples, but they're just different apples, different apple trees. They're their own apple tree growing from the same seed. The seed is the only thing that's the same.
Gotcha. Is there any way we can twist that analogy any further? That'd be great.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure there is. But just know that I am now a big fan of Snowpiercer in all its forms. Well, I have not read the graphic novel. The French graphic novel upon which the entire story is based. I haven't read that yet, but I do intend to, because the story is phenomenal. It's great.
Okay. All right. That sounds good.
You know what else is great?
What's that?
You know what else is great? Our patrons.
Our patrons?
Over at patreon.com/ritualmisery.
Didn't we already talk to them a little while ago? Like, we already talked to our patrons, didn't we?
Well, we did on the patron exclusive feed.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Like, we said, hey, patrons, and Kent gave some really sad excuse of a come online. And then I came in there with the silky vocals that, I mean, it's not big voice J level, but I'm pretty sure that, you know, it riled up somebody's somebody's hair in the back of their neck, probably maybe for the wrong reasons.
Well, maybe, but yeah, you got to be a patron to know how that went. Yeah. Anyway, patreon.com/ritual misery. You get pre-shows, post-shows, extra stuff. You'll get to see some of the RMP extra things that I've been doing over the last couple of months. You never know, man. You'll see exclusive interviews. You'll see stuff that we did 30 years ago. All kinds of stuff over there. And right now in May 2020, if you become a patron, pledge whatever you like. We won't charge you. We are not going to charge you for the month of May 2020. So consider this a free preview. If you want to jump in there and see what it's like to be a Ritual Misery patron, now is the time to do it. Patreon.com/ritual misery.
So somehow we weren't going live.
What?
Yeah.
We were live.
Yeah. We were live and then it didn't go live.
Are we not live right now? Oh, fuck, dude.
Yeah. I don't know what happened. That was awesome. Apparently, Twitch is having some issues.
Maybe
Slobs is having issues because I don't think the video recorded for that part either.
Oh no!
Yeah.
So what you're saying is I shouldn't download Slobs yet.
Yeah, maybe not. Maybe not. That's awesome. All right, this is what happens when we only do this every couple weeks or so.
Yeah, that's one of the, yeah. Okay. So what are we going to do? Are we just going to just continue?
Yeah, let's just continue. We just did the
Patreon plug. So we're about to move into the next segment, which is.
Can I please have your attention?
In the last 30 minutes, Kit's done something. Now you've got a guess.
He was very excited.
Kit's games.
Play with him.
All right, Amos. Uh-huh. Tonight's game is called Unsavory Steak Bets.
Unsavory Steak Bets.
So I asked our Discord members to name tonight's game, and I chose, out of all of the many contributions, I chose Unsavory Steak Bets. And before I get into the quiz itself, I want to read you the runners-up. Okay. Okay, so real quick, Unsavory Steak Bets was provided by Captain Fubar. So thank you, Fubes, for that title suggestion. Mm-hmm. And thank you to everyone else that contributed. And they are as follows. Green Gun Guy suggested You Suck Butts.
Oh, that would have been a good one, yeah.
Wabbit Magic suggested Urine Should Blow. Wabbit also suggested Universal Shitty Butt.
Universal Shitty Butt, yep.
Flavor Toothpaste suggested Unkempt Shifty Bartenders. Curtis LaRock suggested Unsatisfactory Standing Blowy, which I think is pretty great. Wabbit suggested a third title, Urine Should Bubble. And then Dark Redeemer, just a few minutes ago, suggested Urine Soaked Bath Mat.
I think these are all great, but so we're doing a quiz about USB tonight.
That is correct. So I put in the Discord, and everybody can join the Discord at bit.ly/RMP Discord. I put in the Discord quick. What does USB stand for? Wrong answers only.
Fair enough.
Of course. And that's what I got. So thank you very much to the Discordians over at bit.ly/RMP Discord. Amos, I want you to tell me, am I describing USB 2.0 or USB 3.0?
Ooh, exciting.
So I will tell you up front, I've only got 6 questions because there's really only like 6 ways that they differ. I suppose I could throw in a 7th bonus question because I actually just thought of one while we were talking. All right. First question. This standard was released in 2008.
2008. The standard was released in 2008.
Yes. Would that be USB 2.0 or 3.0?
Oh, 2008. I'm going to say Chat room is saying two, but I think two came out earlier than that. Because 2008 is also the same time they came out with Lightning, and I think Lightning and USB 3 were competing standards at the time, but they didn't have any hardware to support. So I'm going to say three.
This might be the nerdiest quiz I've ever put together. and also, I don't have my sound effects with me right now. I just realized that. So, yeah, you got that one right.
It is. I got that one right.
USB 3.0. Yes. Yeah, so USB 2.0 came out in 1996.
Sounds right.
Next question. The maximum transfer speed is 480 megabits per second.
480 megabits per second. So USB 1.0 was 12 megabits per second. USB 2 was 48 megabits per second. So 480 megabits per second should be USB 3.
Wah, wah, wah.
Oh, no.
480 megabits per second is USB 2.0. USB 3.0 is 5 gigabits per
second. Yeah, if I thought about that, it wouldn't work out right.
So, yeah, so something like 10 times faster than USB 2. All right, number three. The connectors are blue inside.
Oh, that's USB 3.
Yeah, come on. That's by far the easiest question on this quiz. All right, number four. It provides up to 900 milliamps of power.
900 milliamps of power. That is USB 2.
Wah, wah, wah. That is USB 3. USB 2 is 500 milliamps versus the 900 from 3.
I guess, yeah. I won't argue with you.
All right, number five. The cables have a total of 4 connector wires.
That's USB 2.
Yay! Versus, do you know how many wires are in the 3?
9?
Yes! Yes! You know, I'm going to give you a bonus point. Good job.
Extra credit for the win.
Yes. All right. Number six. It permits simultaneous two-way communication.
Ooh. That would have to be 3, because otherwise it would be both.
Right, right. Do you think I tricked you, maybe?
No.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah, USB 2.0 only has half duplex communication, which basically means it can go both ways, but only one direction.
One at a time. Yeah. That's why you have the extra cables on the 3.
So you got a total of 5 points out of a possibility of 6. Oh, actually, I'll go ahead and ask you the bonus question that I thought of. It's not even worth me asking. I'm going to ask it anyway. Which one is more expensive?
USB 3.
Okay. All right. So
more expensive to implement and to purchase.
So you got, with bonus points and everything else, you got 6 out of 6.
Hell yeah.
So you beat the hell out of that D.
Hell yeah. D didn't stand a chance.
Yeah. So good job. Yay. The real winners here are the Discordians. For coming up with such amazing titles. I mean, come on. Urine soaked bath mat. That is just fucking great. Unkempt shifty bartenders. Universal shitty butt. Like, come on. Those are way.
Universal shitty butt is a pandemic amongst children right now. So
universal shitty butt.
All right. Well, we are talking this episode about Corentech. Corentech being the new tech we've been using, or tech we've been using in new ways.
Yeah. And I got intimidated by your list that you threw in here. So I had to really reach for, I put 3 things in here and I had to reach, especially for my third one.
Yeah, I saw that. Like, wow. Okay. Well, I'm going to start it off. If you did, Kent, are you watching the video right now?
I'm only watching the video you're feeding me. I can pull up the screen.
That's fine. You only need to watch the video I'm sending you. Did you notice that when you were asking the questions, I had visual effects for my answers?
Oh, I did see visual effects, but I did not pay attention to what effects were happening as you were answering.
Oh, yeah.
Green versus red lighting. Yeah. This is your hue lighting, I'm assuming.
It is not. It is my nano leaf.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So tell me about nano leaf. I am unfamiliar with nano
leaf. Nano leaf are LED panels, and there they are right there, but I got to turn them down so you can see them on video in the proper colors. It is on a mode I call disco right now, which basically shows all the colors. It's all voice activated by this little dongle thing right there. So it can hear whatever is going on in the room. So if I clap, it goes off.
Okay.
And I have it hooked up to my Elgato Stream Deck. So I can hit, if I get something right, I can make them all green. If I get it wrong, I can make them all red.
Oh,
and then I can always throw the the RMP colors out there, although I got to keep it at 5% for it to be visible on the screen.
Right.
But if I'm not showing it like this and I just drop it down, then it just gives a little bit of ambiance in the background.
Yes.
And I had to talk to Richard about it because we had a debate. Their level. Because OCD,
Curse the Rock says, "Oh fuck, you've gone full streamer."
He's not wrong. He's not wrong. They're all level, but the roof right here isn't exactly level, and neither is this little dip down right here. So I had to find a measure or an immeasurable or indiscernible difference between how to line them up and everything else and get them all to work. So it was actually considerable work, but once I got the alignment right, it was amazingly easy.
Nice.
And yeah, so those are awesome. They're fun, and when you put them on voice activation, it's really pretty cool.
Squid in the Twitch chat says, when you use red, it makes you even more Ming the Merciless.
I will get you.
Oh, fantastic. No, that's pretty great, man. That is a cool thing. Where did you purchase them from?
I got them at Best Buy. They were on a slight sale, and then I put my birthday discount from April on there and got them for a little bit cheaper and still bought them for far more than anybody should ever have to pay for a gadget.
Okay. All right. So not on my immediate purchase list. Okay.
Not on your list ever.
Got it.
I do not see these ever finding themselves in your house by your procurement.
Got it. Okay. So back to shopping for Hue lights for me. Gotcha.
Every time they go on sale, they send them to you. Never buy them. I don't understand.
Yeah. I always forget. Because after we're done streaming, I'm like, cool, man. Yeah. Peace out. And then the next time I log in, I'm like, oh shit, he sent me a link to, damn it. I missed the sale. Oh man. All right, so a piece of tech that I acquired during the quarantine is actually what I'm using right now. I'm using one of my new lavalier microphones as a little lapel mic. I tested it for the first time last week. I received them basically like right before I did the stream last week, and it worked pretty well. One thing that I noticed about it is that my computer doesn't like it if it's in stereo, but luckily it comes with a little adapter, a stereo to mono adapter. So when I plug it in, works fucking perfectly.
Nice.
It's pretty great. This is one of the best purchases I have ever made. One of the highest value purchases. The entire kit was $20.
Ah,
$20. That's it. And I'm going to throw a link. Actually, you know what? I'm going to share the link right now, but it will be in the show notes.
Curtis says he kind of wants my nano leaf lights because they're nice and bright. They are very bright. Like I was blown away by how bright they are, because even in like the bright sunlight, you can still see the color very crisply.
So this kit came with two lavalier mics with a pretty decent cord length, but it also came with two audio extension cords that go out to like fucking 10 feet or something like that. It comes with an audio splitter jack so that you can plug two things into one audio jack. I already mentioned it comes with a second lavalier. It comes with the stereo to mono adapter. And it comes with a variety of wind muffs in different colors. So typically you're going to use a lavalier mic on your lapel for interviewing somebody, right?
Right.
Like for video. And if they're wearing a red shirt, a black mic is going to show up quite a bit. So you can just throw the red wind muff on it. Nice. And it's going to be perfectly disguised. And it comes with this handy dandy little dice bag. I don't know what you call these things. I call them dice bags because I'm a fucking D&D nerd. But to put all your shit in there. I wouldn't really recommend putting it in this because it's awfully small for everything that it comes with. So yeah. I just kept the original plastic Ziploc that everything came in. And it's, man, $20. And it sounds good. Like, the mics actually sound good.
Yeah.
I would have been fine if it was just, like, acceptable. Like, decent. Not horrible. Because worst case scenario, if the mics sucked, I get all these fucking accessories that I can use in other applications. And it's still not a wasted $20. But because the mics are actually good, oh my God, dude, like purchase of the year, $20 for this whole kit.
So good. I also got new headphones. I don't know if you can tell that I'm not wearing my, my earbuds. And I'm still trying to get used to them, which is why I'm shaking my ears so much. I got,
Pro level,
Mi 6 Pro. And they are the, you know, the ones that you tuck in behind your ear and they kind of go in and it's got a nice little case. It comes with a one cable that has the microphone thing on it and one that doesn't. It's got a bunch of extra tips and all that kind of stuff. They're really cool. I just need to get, I need to find the tips that find most comfortable in my ears because these ones that I'm wearing right now are not it. So yeah, another small upgrade. These are a little more expensive than $20, though. They're like $50.
Okay. I've looked at stuff like that, and I've definitely considered getting something like that for myself.
Yeah.
But I have not decided how much I want to spend.
Right. Well, these came at a recommendation. I believe these are the ones that Tom Merritt uses and the ones that one of his producers use. So that's why I went with them. And they sound great. I just got to use the tips. I got to figure out which tip I like best.
Okay, somebody's got to add a title.
It's just the tip.
All right, so really the only other piece of tech that I've bought that I could think of anyway that helps me in any way is the Mirabox capture card that I purchased to capture video. It's a video capture device. I've used it quite successfully with my Arcade 1-Up, or not Arcade 1-Up, Jesus, I don't have one of those. My Legends Ultimate Arcade set up to stream from there. It works really well there. And for anybody that's watched the Sassy and Plays streams for the, I think we're about once a month now that we're doing that. I use the capture card to send the video from the iMac over to my MacBook Pro because I'm the one running the stream from the MacBook Pro, but she's playing the game on the iMac. Works really well there. The only issue that I've had with it is that I'm only capturing video and not sound. And I don't think it's because of the box. I think it's because of the way that I'm outputting audio. So the jury's out on that. But if I had any complaint whatsoever, it's my frustration with your sound. But that is probably not Mirabox's fault. But this card is pretty great. It's only $100, and it works just as well as any card that I've seen.
Just as well as all the other cards you've tried.
No, 100%. It's definitely that good. But I took a chance on this lower priced card, and I am not
regretting it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I've kind of done a little bit more than just that. Bought a Synology RT2600AC to replace
I'm sorry, Gesundheit?
Yeah, RT2600AC. It's the Synology router. It's the higher one of the two that they have. And then I bought two of the mesh units to go with it to replace my Netgear Orbeez, because the Orbeez were... they weren't working out for me. Plus, Netgear...
So explain to me what...
Good.
Good, good. I was just going to say, explain to me what mesh means. Like, what does that mean for the signal that I'm going to get?
Okay, right. I have a router. The router sits in the garage where their internet connection comes into the house. And then I have another smaller router in the living room where I don't have a LAN connection. The router and the smaller router, the mesh router, talk to each other over a dedicated 5 gigahertz signal at about 270 megabits per second, which is faster than a LAN cable. At the mesh, it rebroadcasts the Wi-Fi signal. So it's on one side of the house and the router's on the other side of the house. So I've got full coverage over the entire house. And it's got two LAN ports on the back that hook to the two computers that are right there that don't have don't otherwise have LAN access. Gotcha. So from those two computers, they're just plugging into the network as if there was a LAN port right in the wall. And for the Wi-Fi, it spreads it out even further.
Right. So it's basically Wi-Fi repeaters, except dedicated and much better than just a normal off-the-shelf repeater.
Right. And the problem with the Orbi was that no matter where everything was in the house, everything tried to attach to the router, which wasn't necessarily the strongest signal, but it didn't care. It wanted to stay on the router and not go to the mesh unit. So the mesh unit was basically just a LAN repeater, a wireless LAN repeater. Which wasn't good when I have cameras on that side of the house that are Wi-Fi and they couldn't really connect very strongly to the router on the other side of the house. Meanwhile, the fucking mesh was right there and they didn't want to connect to it.
Right.
I hooked up the Synology system and within 5 minutes I could see that it was splitting the load according to physical location of where the items were. And I don't know if that's something wrong with Orbi or something right with Synology, but it's been working perfectly. And I took the opportunity to improve my network security. Synology has a bunch of tools to use to improve your network security. I changed my SSID. I changed the Wi-Fi password. Did all the things, and yeah, it's been awesome.
That's great, man. And did you also get that from Best Buy?
No, I bought that from Amazon.
That surprised me, actually, because every time I ask you, where'd you get that? You're like, oh, Best Buy. I got it on sale.
I do keep my ear on the ground for the sales, though. But no, so Netgear has been really slow in updating a lot of its security holes lately. And that between that and the problems I was having with the Orbi just generally, I was like, you know what? It's time to switch. So I started researching who to switch to. And I could go with the Wi-Fi 6 and go with all the stuff and make everything all magical and blah 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 blah. And I was like, I need something that I can that brings utility, not just function. And the Synology fit that bill. Plus, I already had experience from my NAS with Synology, and it runs awesome. So that's why I went with that.
Fantastic. What's another piece of technology that you've either repurposed or have gotten new?
The Mavic Air 2 just came out recently, and it's an upgrade to the original Mavic Air in every single way. Better.
And what is Mavic Air?
That's a drone.
A drone.
Yeah.
So a drone. And what is a drone? I'm sorry. I just wanted to go with the interviewer voice.
Like, no.
Just consistent.
No.
All right, so Mavic Air 2. So you now have two drones.
I do.
Is that what you're saying?
I do.
Okay. Is the two bigger than the one? Are they the same size?
It's a little bigger. It folds up the same way, but it's got a bigger battery. It's faster. It handles wind better. It's got better AI built in. Better sensors. Better camera.
So I remember about a year or so ago, you crashed one on your roof.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm assuming that's because of the wind, or was that lack of experience at the controls?
That was
a little bit of both.
Well, it wasn't the wind. It was weather related. What happened was I was flying it and I flew it higher.
See what had happened.
I had told Craig and him, I was going to go out him. Anyway, I flew it up too high and it hit some condensation, I think, and one of the motors froze and it just tumbled from the sky from there.
I gotcha. So and this new one, will this new one mitigate those issues? Or was that just purely circumstantial and would happen to any of them?
I don't know. I know that the times that I flew my old one into walls and stuff like that, this one won't allow.
Oh, that's good. That is a good thing. So what do you intend to do with it?
I've already done some photography. It's on my Facebook page. I did a 360 of the planes near my house. A lot of the stuff, some videos, this is a lot better at following subjects. So like the other day I had a following Autumn around as she was riding her new bike around the neighborhood and stuff. And it was pretty cool. Unfortunately, forgot to hit record. So it didn't record the video, but it was awesome while I was watching it on my phone.
Nice.
Looked
nice.
Really cool for my phone.
Yeah. This sounds like a good spy tool, right? Or how loud is it?
Well, it's quieter than the original, but it's not quiet enough to spy on anybody.
So the subject will know that there's a drone in the air. Mm-hmm. And like, my God, it's following me.
Yeah. You can hear the drone through a closed window. So there's no like peeping Tom stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Every time I go in my backyard, because one of my neighbors about a block away from me has a drone, mm-hmm. and he takes photography professionally, but sometimes he just like flies around the neighborhood to fly it.
Yeah.
And every time that he's doing that, when I walk into the backyard, I swear to God that another beehive has formed in my yard. Because that's exactly what it sounds like.
Yeah, the old one was like a. Please check its network connection and
power supply. Hey, Amazon Assistant, shut up.
No, I told it to set the dining room to red because I'm recording and my niece is upstairs jumping around and bouncing around, making a bunch of noise that I can hear through my headphones. So I'm sure it's on the recording. And one of the things I haven't switched over to the new router are the little switches that I have with the rope lights that tells everybody that I'm recording. So she might not even know that I'm recording. So I told her to set the dining room to red because the chandelier above the table is colored. Like we can do little colors and shit like that. It's got color LEDs. But unfortunately someone has apparently flipped the switch off because I haven't finished switching over all of my switches to wireless switches.
Right, right.
This it's not even tech. This is Luddite family. So,
yeah.
But yeah, and,
whatever.
The old one was like a, and this one's more like a. So it's a lot. It's volume wise, it's lower. It's a lower pitch, but it is louder. Like if that makes any sense.
Okay.
The average person,
but perhaps less annoying. Maybe?
Oh, definitely less annoying.
Okay.
Definitely less annoying.
Cool.
And it's just better in every single way. So, yeah.
So let me ask you a question. Mm-hmm. Since this whole COVID-19 thing has kicked off, you've been to stores, right? Like been grocery shopping,
yeah.
Gone to Best Buy or whatever. Yeah. Do you wear a mask?
I do.
Yeah. So how annoying is it when you go to look at your phone to either use Apple Pay or to just like check the text that you just got and your phone doesn't unlock because Face ID isn't going to work with a mask?
I've just accepted it as that's kind of what happens. Right. Like, duh.
Right. Yeah. The first couple of times were annoying to me, but then I was like, oh, that's right. Yeah, of course. And then I just hit,
right.
Do my 6-digit PIN. Well, Apple released iOS 13.5 today.
Yep.
And one of the big features of it was that it's going to instantly recognize that you're wearing a mask and will immediately present to you the keypad to enter your 6-digit PIN.
I updated just so before the show. Have you tried it? How does it work?
I did update right before the show and I did test it. So right before I upgraded, I wanted to test the timing, mm-hmm. and it was about 2.5 to 3 seconds before the phone showed me the PIN pad.
Mm-hmm.
or the keypad, I guess. Okay, not that annoying, right? Like, I mean, okay.
It's a consequence of circumstance, but yeah.
Yeah, but I was like, okay, if it's going to instantly present me with the keypad, okay, cool. Yeah, let's test this. So I upgraded, threw my mask back on, tested it again. I think it shaved about a half second off the time to bring up the pin pad. Thanks, I guess.
Now, I don't know.
It's faster. It is faster, but...
Curtis says it works instantly for him, but what phone are you on, Curtis? Because Kent and I are both on the iPhone 10, so the first one with the face recognition.
Right. That's right. Yeah.
He's on the XR.
He's like a half generation ahead.
Right.
Successive generation.
Yes, is faster.
Fast.
Yeah.
So like with the fingerprint reader, like the my first fingerprint reader phone was one generation past yours.
And it took like a third the time out the box.
Yeah, it was way faster than what yours was.
Yeah.
I could do Apple Pay like quicker than I could even realize that I was
I just bought McDonald's again. Damn it.
Yeah. I know. Damn phone.
I was just sitting here with my hand in my pocket and all of a sudden I got McDonald's getting delivered to me. Shit.
Yeah. But yeah, so that's the thing. The other thing that I noticed with it was that now your medical ID can be displayed when you make an emergency phone call, which I've never tested that feature, and I hope to not ever have to do that.
Right.
But I did, and it's an opt-in, so I had to go into my settings and turn it on, which I did, because, I mean, if I'm making an emergency phone call, like, yeah, I want them to know that, you know, I've got this blood type or fucking whatever. Okay, cool, but also not, like, immediately useful. The other thing that... it was like a big change is like, I guess, a newsworthy change because Apple and Google have been developing APIs for contact tracing, right? Or contact tracing.
It's proximity. It's complicated, but yes, it's contact tracing.
It's very complicated, and there are privacy concerns and whatnot. And I haven't read enough about it to see how they have mitigated that or will be mitigating that. But one thing to note is you can upgrade to iOS 13.5, and you are not automatically like sending any data to anyone.
Right.
The API is available in the iOS 13.5. The app isn't there. Like it enables other apps to be able to do it. So you will, you will still have to get an additional app and enable it to take that data for contact tracing.
And this is the joint Google Apple API.
Yes.
So they co-developed them so that one app would be able to use similar calls to no matter which API it was using. So.
Right. So whether on an iPhone or Samsung S, whatever, which are like the two most common phones in use today,
right?
Like by far, if you take those two phones out of the equation, you're left with like, you know, 8% of the phone market or whatever. No, it's probably more than that, but still.
I'll tell you my most impressive thing about the update. There's actual notes on the update. Usually when you get an Apple update, it's just iOS 13.5 includes bug fixes and other improvements. Check out the developers.
Oh, then you have to click.
Yeah, but it still doesn't tell you anything. Like you got to go into the developer site on Apple to actually see the changes. And this one's actually got a whole fucking paragraph. Like what?
No. And I agree with Curtis in the chat. Like it really depends on the update because most updates when you click on learn more. Like you will see like all of the update notes. You will have a link still
to go to. You will see if you want
a deep dive on the security.
You will see You'll see five itemized things out of a list of 50 that actually changed. But
no, not when you click on learn more. You will see 50 things. But if you click on the link that's within the Learn More, then you'll learn about the, you know, individual security fixes and,
right.
and things that like no normal person gives a fuck about. Anyway, so 13.5, it's stable and it put little tiny, teeny tiny enhancements. A big enhancement if you consider the API for contact tracing important. But other than that, it's a teeny tiny little.
Yeah.
So.
Hey, Kent, you have a Elgato Stream Deck, right?
I do. Yes, I've got the small one though. I've got the six button one.
Yep, and I've got the 15. Did you know that they just released an update that had a bunch of APIs installed on it?
I do know that there is an update. I have not downloaded it, nor have I read the release notes for it.
The things that were added, some of the optional ones, not all the standard ones, but some of the optional ones, there's a Twitch button now, so I can see how many people that I follow are live on Twitch right now. And you click on it, and it actually shows you the current screenshot from the channel.
Oh, wow. Oh, within
the stream deck itself? Yeah.
And that is fantastic.
I can see how many people are in our chat right now.
That is amazing.
It's a static button that updates. And if I hit the chat button, it actually doesn't do. No, it does. It brings up a list of all the people. And then once the people are brought up, you can do different things to adjust what you want it's just little things like that, man. The Stream Deck is just always improving. It's awesome.
Yeah. That is.
Let me find out what happens. Curtis,
so great.
Curtis just said maybe it bans people, so I'm going to hit Curtis and see what happens. I don't think it did anything.
Oh, bye, Curtis.
No, because I don't have it. I don't have a program for anything. Man. So, no, it just lets me see a picture. No, but
Curtis does have a good point, though. He said this is great for rating. This is be a great tool to see because we always like, oh, who's live right now? Right. And then we have to go and like refresh our page to see who's done.
And that's another thing.
No, this is a great tool.
If you hit the live button and it brings up the people that are live right now, and then you tap on that button, it actually opens a default browser window going straight to their live page.
Oh, that's fantastic.
It's awesome.
That's really good.
Yep. And then
good job, Elgato.
Yeah, the other thing I've been doing lately that's new with old stuff is Asana. I use Asana as my production workflow to keep track of all work tasks, things like that. I do have some personal projects in there, so I can keep track because I have it linked up with Toggle for time tracking for billing purposes, things like that. And I also use it to see, oh shit, I spent 6 hours editing videos or pictures today or whatever. Well.
Right.
I just recently upgraded and started going with the pro option so my wife and I can both share access and have access to the advanced features of like timeline, things like that. And transitioning my wife over to Asana has been a cruel, cruel happiness or a beautiful, beautiful misery, depending on which day.
Okay. Elaborate, tell us more about that.
She loves the fact that it's a combined list of things for us to work on. She loves that there's additional options than what's in, you know, like Apple Reminders. But getting her to actually use it has been a nightmare. Although she has switched over to starting to use Timely now to track her time since she's working from home. Or not Timely, Toggle, which is great. So.
You know what Steph uses to keep the family on track for tasks
and whiteboard.
All that sort of stuff? A whiteboard. And it works pretty well.
Yeah. Yeah.
For anybody out there looking for a low tech solution.
Yeah.
Works pretty good.
You know what you can't access on the road?
You got to pay attention to it. Like,
yeah. You know what you can't access on the road? A whiteboard.
A whiteboard.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, unless somebody takes a picture and then.
And the really bad thing is like, if you have a link to share, you can't just drop that link on the whiteboard. You still have to type it in. You can't just click it when it's on the whiteboard.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. No production software. Like you've always been the production software guy. I've been the resistant to production software guy
or AKA Luddite. Yes, we know.
Hey, yeah. Dude, Luddite. Yeah, that's me.
Do you have any tech issues that you wish you could ask an expert or at least someone who can find out the right answer and make sure that it's delivered in a clean and precise way?
Oh, dude, at least weekly I have that issue.
Yeah. What if I could? What if those questions would be looked at by none other than Tom Merritt and possibly answered by Tom Merritt?
That sounds fantastic.
Well, if that describes you, hit me up, DM me at Ethan Kane on Twitter, or hit me up in the Discord, and I will pass those questions on directly for a new project that may or may not be coming.
Okay. All right. So basically what you're saying is, if I have a tech issue and I would love for Tom Merritt himself to answer the question, I should hit you up in Discord.
Yes. Or DM me on Twitter.
So bit.ly/RMPDiscord.
Yep.
Or Ethan Kane, ETHANCAINE on Twitter.
Yep.
And Tom Merritt's going to see my question?
No. No, I'm gathering subjects for topics.
Oh. Damn it. Okay. I thought I had a middleman direct to Tom Merritt.
No. Well, I mean you do.
So all right, so I submit my questions.
Yeah.
So I submit my tech questions to you. Tell me what happens.
Not necessarily tech questions. Subjects that you feel could be explained better.
Okay, so if I have a problem with, I cannot figure out how to get my my mixing board to work with my microphone.
No.
Okay, I can't figure out how to make my iPhone do X task.
No.
All right. No. What are we talking about? Give me some good examples. What would be a good scenario to present?
What is LiDAR?
What is LiDAR?
Right. Exactly.
Okay. Okay.
If there's an acronym out there that's semi-tech related, and you need explained, let me know, and I'll see if I can figure out a way to get it explained to you. Put it that way.
Okay. All right. So like just general understanding about technological topics.
Doesn't have to be tech. Yeah, it doesn't have to be tech, but but yeah.
What is life?
42.
Well, yes. I mean that is the answer. Okay. So cool.
Rewardian so everyone, says, you know, so everyone, ray tracing, it's like that. I have no idea what ray tracing is.
Yeah, nobody does. Nobody does. Nobody knows that.
Minecraft does, and that's it.
What I want everybody to do, what I want the Ritual Misery audience to do, is flood Amos's social media with questions.
No, just the DMs. Just the DMs.
Just the okay. Yes. Yeah, yes.
Just the DMs.
Or the DMs, the PMs, the text, the whatever route you have directly to Amos, I want you to flood that with what is life, what is LiDAR, what is everything. Like, I don't know.
I can already tell this is a bad idea.
Try to come up with some good ones though. Try to come up with some like legitimate questions that you have, but make them hard. Oh, that's a good title. I'm going to submit that one for myself. Make them hard.
Hey, dude, where can people find out what you got going on, man?
Man, people need to hit me up on Twitter at @RM_DelNoche. I haven't been amazingly active on there lately, but if you engage me on there, I guarantee I'll become a lot more active. So hit me up there.
Squid's mixtape. Let me tell you, are you talking about an African or European swallow? You can find me on Twitter at Ethan Kane, ETHANCAINE. And you can find me on Discord, which I am more frequent in now because I've got lots of little things going on. Some amazing content for this show. Hopefully if I can get my squirrels in a row.
And, yeah, you can also join the show, bit.ly/RMPDiscord for like the 17th time I've mentioned it this episode.
You should, you should really watch out for that. We are live every Thursday at 7 p.m. Pacific on diamondclub.tv and twitch.tv/ritualmisery. Thank you so much to Kevin McLeod for allowing us to use your music, which is starting to play right now. Because I just hit the button. Ah, there it is. Thank you for listening.
Yeah,
for Kent, for you, for me. This has been your multi-exited Ritual Misery podcast.
Love you guys. See ya.
Bam. Let's see if we can hear this this time. Wait, where's the thing? There it is.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.
R-I-T-U-A-L-M-I-S-E-R-Y.
Yeah, that was loud again.
Toothpaste. Thank you, Flavor Toothpaste, for that that stinger at the end.
I don't know why. I gotta figure out why it's so fucking.
I love that so much. It's so good.
I just dropped it down like a lot, so I will not forget to not blow people's ears out next time.